Okay, today's daf is Vavasu daf Kuf Lamed Hey. We're holding at the very top of daf Kuf Lamed Hey Amar Aleph. Today's shir is sponsored by Liad and Ariel Maccabi, Lizchusur for Shlema, for Ariel's father, Mordechai Ben Bracha Malka HaKohen. We wish him a refuah shlema, and we thank the Maccabees very much for the sponsorship. We are holding again at the very top of Kuf Lamed Hey Amar Aleph. The Gemara is going to discuss two different stories where a dying man tries to save his wife from having to do Yibum. But in the first story, he tries to save his wife by... And both of the stories, we're going to question whether he's ne'eman to do so. In the first one, he's going to try to save his wife from having to do Yibum by saying Girashti, that they're already divorced, she's not his wife. In the second story, he's going to try to save his wife by saying that he has no brothers. And in each case, we're going to question whether he is ne'eman. Then the Gemara is going to talk about the case in the Mishnah where one of the brothers says that we have an additional brother, identifies another person as an additional brother. What are the other brothers saying in order for the halachos of our Mishnah to be correct? What are the other known brothers saying about this guy? Are they saying, yes, you're right, he is our brother? Are they denying it flatly that he's not our brother? Or is there perhaps a third possibility? Then the Gemara is going to discuss what happens to the shevach nechasim of that suffek brother, meaning the Mishnah discusses that suffek brother that was identified. If he dies, so his nechasim gets split amongst the other brothers, but whatever he had split with the one brother that identified him just goes back to that one brother. What about improvements that happened to those nechasim? Does that get split amongst all the brothers? Does that go back only to that one brother? Then we're going to have a Mishnah on Amud Beis. We're going to talk about whether we honor a shtar that was left by a shchiv mera if the shtar was never delivered. Divrei shchiv mera are kiksuv nekum surin dami. What if it wasn't just divrei shchiv mera? He actually wrote a shtar, but he never delivered the shtar. So do we view that as if the kinyan happened as well? And the Gemara is going to discuss the difference between a daitiki and a matana, and that will each one to take effect after death. What's the difference in the wording of a daitiki versus a matana? And then the Gemara is going to discuss at the very end if a shchiv mera says to give his nechasim and also to write a shtar, but then he dies before a shtar is written, do we still say that divrei shchiv mera kuksuv nekum surin dami, and that by saying to give his nechasim, even though he wanted it accompanied by a shtar, just the saying alone would be a kinyan, even though the shtar never actually happened. So let's begin Kuf Lamed Hey Amar Aleph at the top of the page. There was a guy that was dying. Amulei itse leman, and they said, what's going to be with your wife? Meaning, is she going to require yibum, or is there some sort of heter that you have that she will not require yibum? So Amulehu chazi lekana rabba. He says, she can marry whoever she wants. She can marry the kahana rabba, the kohen gadol, if she wants. Meaning, what does he mean when he says chazi lekana rabba? Says Rashbam, lav dafka el shum mutaris l'kol adam. He means to say she doesn't need yibum, that she's right away going to be mutaris l'shuk when he dies. Ve'ina zekuka l'yavam. But it doesn't mean that she's actually mutaris to the kohen gadol. Umiyu l'kahana asira dali de'miga d'bal shom agrashi asishi ne'man me'amnin k'n farish vazel. We're about to say that the whole reason he's believed is because he could have said girashi asishti. So he could have said that he divorced her. Well, if he would have said that he divorced her, then she's muchzekas as a divorced woman, and a grusha is a surah l'kohen. Forget about the kohen gadol, forget about the kahana rabba. She wouldn't be allowed to marry any kohen. So Amar Rava, my nechushla. What do we have to be concerned about? Amar Rav Chia Barabba, Amar Rav Yochanan, Baal Shom Agrashi, Asishti, Neman. A husband says that he divorced his wife, he's believed. So good, so we should believe this guy as well. This dying man that said he divorced his wife, we should believe him as well. And the woman should not require yibum v'chalitza. Amar Le Abaye, v'akiyasa Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Baal Shom Agrashi, Asishti, Eino Neman. But remember yesterday we had an alternate version of Rav Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan said that if a man says Girashi Asishti, he's not believed. So why are we so quick to believe this dying man that in fact Girashi Asishti, maybe we assume Eino Ne'eman? So the Gemara says, no, but we already answered that contradiction. We already asked. It's been asked and answered. When do we assume that Girashi Asishti is Ne'eman? When do we assume it's Eino Ne'eman? So we already said, V'lav milo shaninu, kan mafreya, v'kan lahaba, that he's Eino Ne'eman to say in the past. to say that they have been divorced. Because yes, it's biyado legarsha, but it's only biyado legarsha from now on, mikanu laba, starting today. But if he wants to say that she is a grusha, mikanu laba, then ein chinami has ne'amana. So this dying man, before he dies, says girashi asishi, he's ne'aman, that she's divorced before he dies. He wouldn't be ne'aman to say she was divorced a month ago if they have eidim that she slept with somebody else 2 weeks ago. You wouldn't believe him that he got divorced a month ago. Then we have concerns. Shemi yichap el basachosa, maybe he's just having rachmanos on her and he's trying to get her out of Echi of Misa, that there would be no way that we would believe him. But Mikanala, but we would believe him, so therefore we're going to believe him over here. Says the Gemara, Va'ashnuye nekum l'smoch. The Gemara kvetches out a teretz when we have a stira, whether he is believed or is not believed, say Gerashi Asishti, so you're going to rely la halacha on a teretz that we kvetched out to try to resolve the two conflicting statements? So Rava said to Rav Nasan Merami, yeah, Taka, we have to be concerned about this. That since we can't rely on a teretz like that, we have to be concerned like Abaye, she's Asura Lashuk, and meaning the reason we use that term, Choshla, it's an unusual term, Rashbam points out that Mishum to Amar La'el L'may Nechush, Kamracha Devada Ika L'meychash, meaning the reason we use that term, Choshla, as opposed to saying that she's Asura Lashuk, is because the original statement was l'may nechush. What would we be possibly choshesh for? So now we're saying, yeah, whatever it is, we're choshesh. We're choshesh that she in fact does require yibum l'chalitza, and therefore we're going to assume lahalacha that a bal shem grashli asishti is eino neman, that we do not believe a husband who says that he divorced his wife, and we have to be choshesh that she requires yibum v'chalitza. So a couple of things over here. First of all, there is a Tosos in Maseches Kiddushin on Daf Samach Dalet and Beis, where Tosos raises the question, why does the Gemara explain the Mishnah over there to be talking about a case where a guy says, yesh li banim, that he has sons, that he's neman, and we're saying that it must be that we have a chazaka, that we don't have a chazaka, that he has any brothers. Meaning, when do we believe a guy to say that he has sons, and therefore his wife does not require a yibum? That's only if there's no chazaka that he has brothers. But if he has a chazaka that he has brothers, and therefore we know that this might be a yibum situation, then we aren't going to just take his word that he has sons, and therefore he could exempt his wife from yibum. So Tosa says, wait, even if he has brothers, he should still have a migo, the piyado legarsha, because ain't adam chotev lalo. Meaning, why would he do an avera? Why would he dafka set his wife up for an avera by saying that she doesn't require a yibum if he could very easily get her out of yibum? He doesn't have to say yesh li banim. If he wanted to, he could just divorce her and then she will not need yibum. So why is it that the Mishnah over there says, Tosos asks in Maseches Kiddushin, that the Mishnah over there says that he's only believed to say yesh li banim when we don't know of any brothers that he has? But if we know of some brothers that he has, then he's not believed to say yesh li banim. Why not? Let him say yesh li banim, and he's believed with amigo that he could just give her again if he wanted to. So Tosos over there gives a couple of terutzim. In the second teretz over there, Tosos says that if we know that he has brothers, we're not going to believe him that he has sons at the time of his death, because biyado legarsha, because it's a real hassle to be megaresh at the time of one's death. Meaning at the time, a gerushin is not a simple process, and it's a big tircha to arrange for a gerushin. So we don't just easily say, biyado legarsha. It's just as easy for him to divorce her. It's not just as easy. It's much easier for him to say the words yesh li banim than it is to actually divorce her. So you can't say amigo that it's biyado legarsha. So you see at the shas misa, apparently, according to that Tosos, a person does not have ne'emanus of biyado legarsha. He doesn't have the ne'emanus that normally comes along with the fact that he's able to divorce her. So Rabbi Kivager in the Gilyan Hashas over there raises the kasha on that Tosos, that lechora it's against our Gemara, because in our Gemara we're talking about a shchivmra is nema to say that he was megarish his wife Migo that he could be Megarish, his wife. So you see that even Bishas Misa, it's considered a Migo. So even though in the end the Gemara says that Choshla, but at least in the beginning the Gemara says that that the Ne'amanus L'chora should be there if to say Girashi as Ishti. So as Rabbi Akiva Eiger points out, is L'chora Stira between the two Sukkahs. Now just on a technical point over here, the idea that the Gemara uses this expression where they ask this fellow who's dying, what's going to be with your wife? And he says, Chazya l'kahana rabba, of all phrases to use. What does he mean by that? She's roi for the Kohen Gadol. There's one thing that we know for sure. She's not roi for the Kohen Gadol. She's not roi l'kuhuna. He says, Girashi Asishti. The whole Ne'amonis comes from the fact that he could have said Girashi Asishti. So Tosos and Tap Tosos, Chazya l'kahana rabba, Yesh mochkim rabba. Some take out the word rabba from the phrase, Mishum de l'kol apachos almanihi v'lo chazya l'kohen gadol. Because at the very least, even if she's not a grusha, at the very least she's an almana. Meaning he's saying maybe that I have sons. Okay, good. So she doesn't require yibum v'chalitza. He's not saying I actually divorced her. His ne'amanus comes from the fact that he could have said that he divorced her. Good. So she's not a grusha. But at the very least, after he dies, she's going to be at least an almana. And an almana's asura to a kohen gadol. Va'omeri de'shapir garis rabba. But the Reis says we can keep that girsa. Ta'af l'kohen hediot asira. Da'mitab sham gra. He says, no, obviously in our Gemara, she's not just an almana. She's obviously a grusha in our Gemara because he's not claiming that he has sons. He's claiming that Girashti is Ishti. And that's why the whole Amshech of the Gemara is we're discussing whether a man is Neman to say Girashti is Ishti. So anyway, she's way more than an almana. Anyway, she's a grusha. So once you're going to keep the word kahana in, you might as well keep the words kahana rabba, because neither of them are accurate. She's not allowed to marry any sort of kohen. So what in the world is he talking about? Elahachi pirusho dechazi l'kahana rabba kolomar eina zekuka liyibum shigirashtia dumataris l'kala olam v'afilu l'kohen gadol mitam zikas yevamin. What we mean to say is that she's not zakuk liyibum and she's right to everybody as far as yibum is concerned. Meaning, eina chinami. To marry the kohen gadol, she's got a different problem. She's an almana or a grusha, so she's not going to be able to marry a kohen or a kohen gadol. But as far as yibum is concerned, she's in the clear. So if the kohen gadol were to marry her, he would not be in violation of a zikas yibum. That's all he's saying, but not that she's actually roi to marry any kohen or the kohen gadol for that matter. Just that it wouldn't be a yibum problem; it would be the normal problem of a grusha le kohen. V'arav Rabbeinu Menachem garas chazi le kuhuna. No, not chazi le kana rabba. It's chazia le kuhuna. So why does that help? She's, if her father's a Kohen, she can go back to her father's house to eat Truma. Not that she's allowed to marry a Kohen. Chazi l'kana rabba, meaning she can, not chazi l'kana rabba, but chazi l'kuhuna, meaning she can go back to Kuhuna, she can go back to her father's house to eat her father's Truma if her father was a Kohen. Several Rishonim quote a different pshat from Rabbeinu Chananel, that what he meant to say is that there was a Tanai in the Kiddushin, and the Tanai was not Mekuyam, and he was never Boel her, so therefore she goes back to being a regular single girl, meaning that it's literal. Chazi l'kana rabba, yes, she can marry Kohen Gadol. How could she marry Kohen Gadol? She was married to you. So however this marriage ends, divorce, death, whatever, she's at least an almana, maybe even a grusha. So how could you say, no, she's not an almana, she's not a grusha, because she was never married to me. The whole Kiddushin that I did was al Tanai, and that Tanai was never fulfilled. That's what he's saying on his deathbed when they're asking what's going to be with your wife, and therefore he's saying she's ra'ui l'kuhuna gadola. So the Ramban and the Ritva just ask, so he's really trying to be oker the Kiddushin l'mafreya l'chora. I thought we said that he's definitely not believed l'mafreya, meaning the one thing we said, if a man says Girashi Asishi is ne'eman, but Rabbi Yochanan says Girashi Asishi ain't no ne'eman. So even if you're going to rely on the teretz that the Gemara Torah gave, it was that Teretz suggested that he's not believed l'mafreya. So a little bit hard to imagine that he's believed to be Oker Kiddushin l'mafreya. Furthermore, the Ramban and the Ran point out that if we're going to believe him that there was a Tanai to be Oker the Kiddushin, so then it will be very easy for him to be Mechapa al Bas Achoso. If he's married to his niece and his niece is Mizana Tachtov, so it'll be very easy for him to save her by saying that there was some sort of Tanai in the Kiddushin. So the Ramban suggests, yeah, but that's not a very common claim, not a very common thing that a person is going to make a Tanai in the Kiddushin, so we're not concerned about Shemei Chapal Basachoso in such an uncommon case. Other interpretations of what he means by Kahana Rabba, the Rashba says that there Yesh Mefarshim that it's Chazi LeKahana, meaning not we shouldn't read it as they ask him what's going to be with your wife and he says Chazi LeKahana Rabba, she's right for the Kohen. No, it's Chazi LeKahana. What? Well, why are you asking me? You trying to marry off to a Kohen? Anyway, she's not going to be able to marry a Kohen. It's Belashon Tamiya. That why are you so nervous? I divorced her. So she's Mutaris L'Shuk anyway, and she's not going to be able to marry a Kohen anyway. So why are you asking so many questions? So that's how the Rashba understands. Rabbi Yaakov Emden says different. You know, the Gemara has, we quote several places, a person by the name of Rav Kahana. Gemara tells us in Kiddushin that Rav Kahane was able to get Pidyon HaBen money because his wife was a Kohen. What? His wife was a Kohen, so he was not a Kohen. How did he get the name Kahana? Okay, it could be that he got the name Kahana. I was just involved in a gerus recently where being Megayer a woman she met a guy and his last name is something like Cohen or Katz or whatever. So this is a problem, right? A Gioris and a Cohen. But it turns out he's a Cholol. He's not a Cohen. His mother was divorced when she married his father. So he's a Cholol. So it's not a problem at all. So Kahana sometimes means that a person is a Cohen, but Kahana could mean that his name just happens to be Kahana. So says Rabbi Yaakov Emden, he doesn't mean the Cohen Gadol over here. There was no Cohen Gadol in Bavel. There was no Cohen. The whole story doesn't make sense for him to be talking about a Kohen Gadol at that time in history. No, it means that there was an Adam Gadol whose name was Kahana. That a Gavra Rabba, she's Rawi, she can marry the big tzaddik, the Kahana, Rav Kahana Rabba, the great Kahana, she can marry. That's all he meant to say. Okay, possibly. So let's see the Gemara further now. So that was one story where a husband was trying to save his wife from potentially having to do Yibum, and we had questions whether we're going to rely on what he's saying. Now, Haudav Muksklan to Leslay Achi, about 8-10 lines into the page. There was a guy that had a chazaka that he didn't have any brothers, and if he doesn't have any brothers, there's not going to be a Yibum problem. Va'amr b'shas misa to Leslay Achi, and he says at the time of his death that he doesn't have any brothers, that in fact it's true that he has no brothers. So I'm Rav Yosef, my lechushla. So Rav Yosef, well, what are we going to be concerned about? What, we're going to invent a brother? I mean, we don't know of any brothers. He says he doesn't have any brothers. What's he going to be concerned about? Chadu de muksaklan de lasayachin. First of all, there's chazaka that he doesn't have any brothers. That's what we've been assuming, that he doesn't have any brothers. Va'od ha'amar b'shas misa de lasay. And also, when he was dying, that's exactly what he said, that he didn't have any brothers. Now people are saying that there are Edim b'Medina Sayyam that know that he does have brothers. We don't actually have the Edim here that can testify that he has brothers, but there's a rumor going around that there are Edim somewhere that know that he has brothers. So maybe we should be choshish for that, even though he's telling us that he doesn't have any brothers. So says Mar Hashem, yes, halasnu, come on. Where are these Edim? Are they here? We don't see these Edim here, so why would we listen to potential Edim that may or may not exist that are currently b'Medina Seyam? Lav haynu d'Rabbi Chanina, Tamar Rabbi Chanina, Edim b'tzad istan v'te'aser. What? Because there are Edim b'tzad istan, which Rishonim say istan means tzafon, it means in the north. It's like the Gemara says in Megillah, tzricha shmeitza tzilusa ki yoma di istana, that you need clarity in your learning, like a yoma di istana, like a clear day. A clear day is a clear day because the northern wind comes and blows away the clouds. So there's this place in the north. So because there are Edim b'tzad istan v'te'aser, we're going to ask for the woman, Amle Abaye, so Abaye said, no, what was the original context where Rabbi Hanina said that? That there might be Edim Tzadistan, and that's not going to pose any problem for us. That's by a Shvuya. Emikalnu b'Shvuya, meaning what was the case of the Shvuya? The case was, there's a Sugya in Meseches Ksubis, where in the second paragraph of Meseches Ksubis, where Shmuel's daughters, Mar Shmuel's daughters, were taken captive, and they were brought to Eretz Yisrael, and they said, Nishbesi Vitorani, meaning they escaped the captivity or they got out of the captivity, and they went and they said, we were held captive. Now normally a Shavuya, you have to be concerned that she was taken advantage of, but she said they admitted that they were Shavuyos, and we didn't know. It was only by their word that we know that they're Shavuyos. But don't worry, Tahorani, nothing happened. So Rabbi Hanina said, they're allowed to marry a Kohen. We don't have to worry that she was Nevelas Lepasala while she was a Shavuya, because we only know that she's a Shavuya by her own word. So the Gemara says over there, but there are Edim bin Medina Sayyam. There are Edim bin Medina Sayyam that she was Nitmes. So Rabbi Hanina said, Edim Tzadistan, the Edim are somewhere else, and I'm going to worry about Edim that may or may not exist somewhere else. Right now, the only way we knew that she was a Shavuya was by her own admission. So what we're trying to suggest is the same should apply over here. What, there might be Edim in Medina Siyam that this guy has brothers? Right now we have no knowledge of him having brothers, and he's telling us he doesn't have brothers. So that's it. So we could believe him. So Amle Abaye says you can't necessarily compare those two cases. If you're going to be makel by a Shavuya, nekel Be'eshas ish, you're going to be makel by an eshas ish. These are very different cases from each other. By a shvuya, it's one thing. It's an isur lav of a nivela l'pasala, of a zona l'kohen. But over here, you're going to be makel by an eshas ish. This is much more serious. Maybe we should be concerned that those edim know something, wherever they may be. Amalei Rav Nasan Marami, Choshla. Say Nachinami, Rav says Rav Nasan Marami, we in fact have to be Choshesh for this. Now, why is there a difference between Shvuya and Eshes Ish? Meaning, why is there an extra Kula that we have by Shvuya that we don't have by Eshes Ish? So the Rashbam writes that we were specifically makel by a Shvuya because even an Isha and an Eid Echad are Nemet Se Tahora. Why? Because she had Yichud with her captors, we don't have to assume that she was nevelous to them, because most women will try to protect themselves from znus, and therefore we can be mamet or becheskasa, and it's an iser kal as opposed to an eshes ish. The Rashbam says there's an iser chelek; she's becheskas iser until now, so we can't be mater from the safek iser, from the cheskas iser based on the safek, because there are people that are saying that there are edim that know that she requires yibum. So the achronim all ask over here. What do you mean, Eshes Ish? The husband's dead. Meaning the whole time the Shaila is coming up is after the husband dies, and it's a question, does she need Yibum or not? So she's definitely not an Eshes Ish. At worst, she's what? A Yivam L'shuk. What kind of Isra is Yivam L'shuk? It's a Los Haseh, like any other Los Haseh, like a Zon L'Kohen. So it's the same thing. Shvuya Eshes. Don't tell me Eshes Ish is more Chamer Dike Isser. Yeah, Eshes Ish is more Chamer Dike Isser. But she's not an Eshes Ish. Her husband's dead. It's a question of Yivam L'shuk. So now Sabach and the Marshal, they suggest that since before her husband died, she was Be'isr Eshes Ish, and now there's a suffix whether that Isr was ever fully Hutar, that Cheskas Isr is still considered an Isr Eshes Ish, even though she's not going to be Chayiv Chenek right now, because it's only a question of Yivam L'shuk, but that Yivam L'shuk status emerges from her Cheskas Eshes Ish when her husband was alive. The Ritva suggests when the Gemara says, are we going to be makel by an Eshes Ish? It's lav dafka. She's only Yivam L'shuk. We just say it, Agav the Gemara in Kiddushin, which uses such a lashon. But in Achinami, it's not really about the relative chumras Isser. What it's really about is that a Shavuya is unlikely to have had Bia, because a Shavuya is menavela sasatzma. She'll do whatever she can to make herself unattractive to her captors. So forget about the level of the Isser. In Achinami, same level of Isser when you're dealing with a Shvuya and when you're dealing with a Yavam L'shuk. But there's a consideration that we have to think about, and that is that a Shvuya is unlikely to have had Bia with the captors, because she probably was Menavelas Es Asma. She probably made herself specifically unattractive to her captors. Rav Yosef Engel in Asvan Da Araisa in Klal Ches raises the following Chakir. He likes to come up with interesting Chakiras. So this sometimes comes up with Chakiras that none of the other Achronim ever thought about. The classic example, he comes up with a Chakira about whether quantity or quality is a bigger factor in Halacha. If you could do an Avera, one really big Avera, or many small Averos, so which one should you choose? Is it better to do many, or one really big mitzvah, many small mitzvahs? So quantity and quality. So that's not normal Lamdish talk. That's not the way Lamdanim normally. But this one, he has a pretty classic Lamdus that a lot of Achronim discuss. In Klal Ches and Asvan Daraisa, he discusses, what exactly is the Isser of Yavam L'shuk? A woman requires Yibum, and she's not allowed to marry anybody until she has her Yibum or Chalitza. Is it because she's connected to the Yavam, so she's considered like a partial Eishes Ish of the Yavam, of the surviving brother? Or is it that her Isser is based on the Ishus she has with her deceased husband, that Ishus that she has with her deceased husband is not Nitak L'Gamri upon his death? That death only completely severs the marriage if there's no need for Yibum. But when there is a need for Yibum, that Ishus is still somewhat in place. So she's an Ishus Ish B'Miktzas with the deceased husband. So he brings many rayas. That's his style. He'll come up with a chakira, and then he'll bring like 15-20 rayas. So one of his rayas is from our Gemara, that she's considered becheskas iser eshes ish, because before the husband died, she was becheskas eshes ish, so we continue that chazaka. So we see that, so apparently, meaning why would we call this eshes ish? We know the whole iser is only yavam alashuk, it's not eshes ish. Must be that we're calling it eshes ish, and we're considering it more chamur, because it's Eishes Ish due to her marriage with her deceased husband. So it sounds like it's that relationship that's continuing when she's a Yavam L'shuk. It's not a new relationship called a connection to the Yavam on some level, because that would just be an Isser Lav. But we're calling this an Isser Eishes Ish. It must be based on the fact that that the relationship with her original husband is still in place. Okay, another issue Tosfos raises in Maseches Kiddushin. So what are we distinguishing between Yavama, where it's an Isereshes Ish, we're calling it, versus a Shavuya? Is a Shavuya so obvious that it can never be a Chiv Misa? That a Shavuya is only an Isser Lav? Says the Tosfos in Kiddushin Daf Yud Beis, by a Shavuya could be an Isser Misa. Here's the case. He's a Kohen, and he has a son from this woman, right? A man is a Kohen, marries this woman, has a son from her. Is the son a Chalal or not? If this woman is Psul Lakuna, any son that they have is going to be a Chalal. Okay, fine. So it's a status issue. What does that have to do with the Chiv Misa? He then goes and he does the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos. So the Avodah is Docha Shabbos, right? But Avodah of a Kohen is Docha Shabbos. Avodah of a Chalal is not Docha Shabbos, that's Stam. Chilul Shabbos. So he's going to be Chayv Misa. So it could be that this is Nogea to a din of Misa. Okay, so that's Tosfos Kasha. The Achronim work on that Kasha. Yeah, you have to say that it's a little bit removed from the actual core question. I mean, this isn't a Misa question. It's a question that may have ramifications, L'Misa, but it's not actually a Chi of Misa question. Pnei Yeshua is bothered by what even Tosfos is asking. In the days of Rabbi Chanina, the Beis HaMikdash was already destroyed. There was no Avoda. So there's nothing to be choshesh of a Chi of Misa over here. Okay, but that's the question that they work on. So says the Gemara further now. Ze Achi Eino Neman, at the two dots, about 7 lines from the end of the page. Ze Achi Eino Neman. So we said in the Mishnah that if a guy comes and he identifies an additional brother that we didn't know about. He says, yeah, this guy's also our brother. It's not just me, Reuven, Shimon, Levi. Yehuda's also our brother. So Eino Neman, he's not believed to make the other brothers share the estate with this guy that he's identifying as their brother. So Vidach Mai Kamri, yeah, but what are the other brothers saying about this guy? Meaning Reuven's coming along saying, yeah, Yehuda's our brother as well. What are Shimon and Levi saying exactly? Ika Amri Achunahu, if they're also admitting that, yes, he is our brother, well then, why is it that Yehuda only gets to share Reuven's portion? Why doesn't he get to share Levi and Shimon and Levi's portions as well? Because after all, they're all admitting that he's their brother. So that it can't be that everyone's admitting. Then there will be no issue. If everyone admits that Yehuda's also a brother, there's nothing to discuss. Of course, he's a brother then. Ela dekamri lavachinuhu. Must be Reuven is saying Yehuda's our brother. Shimon and Levi are saying we never met him before in our life. He is not our brother. Well, Ema Seifa, then how do you explain the next part of the Mishnah? The Mishnah goes on to say, Nafalu nechasim mimakom acher, Yirshua chivimo. That if Yehuda has some sort of windfall, and he comes into a lot of money, and then he dies, Reuven, Shimon, Levi all get to split the estate. They all Yarshin Yehuda. Wait a second. Shimon and Levi all this time have been saying, we don't know Yehuda, he's not our brother. Now they're going to Yarshin him. Let Reuven have that advantage. Reuven's the one that was claiming Achva with him. Hamri Le'lav Achvonu, they've been saying he's not our brother. Why should they Yarshin him? So Lo Tzricha Dekamri Einonu Yodid. No, the case must be that they said, we don't know. We don't know if he's our brother or not. So Reuven is saying, I do know. Yehuda's my brother. Shimon and Levi were saying, maybe, well, we're not sure if he's our brother. So when it comes to their father dying, to Yaakov dying, and what to do with the estate, so Shimon and Levi could say, look, as far as we know, he's not our brother. Amotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. He wants to take some of our portion of the estate. Let him prove that he's our brother. But when Yehuda dies and he leaves a great Yerusha, so then they have the right to split that Yerusha as well. Amar Rav Zosameres, Rav says, what you see from here is, Mani li biyadcha v'alomer eni yodea, that if someone says, you owe me $1,000, and the other one says, I might, but I don't know, Potter, and he's Potter from paying, because what's going to happen? Yehuda dies, so Reuven's going to say, wait, l'shitascha, you owe me all this money, he's not your brother, so you shouldn't get any of it. And they say, any of that? Could be, I don't know if he's my brother or not. So Potter, they don't have to pay it, they get to keep that money. So that's what we see, that it's a Tainus Bari and a Tainus Shema, that the person who's got the Tainus Shema is going to be Potter. He's not going to have to, we're not going to say Bari Adif, and therefore, they're automatically going to have to pay. Abaye Amar Liolamei Melachayiv. No, maybe really Bari Veshema is Bari Adif. And the one who says the Tainus Bari absolutely could be Mechayiv, the one who says Eini Yodea. Veshayni Hacha, but over here it's different. Over here it's different because the person who's making the Tainus Bari is not making it on behalf of himself, he's making it on behalf of another person. As if you look at the Rashbam on the top, Liolam Chayiv de Bari Visham Bari Adif, Shiny Achada, Safek Atzmo, Eno Yodea, Ve'enu Yocholiton, Tainas Vadai. The Safek himself doesn't know and cannot come with the Tainas Vadai. The Safek for Safek, who? Really, it's a Safek and a Safek. Vilkach Uki Mono Becheskas Mare, Avala Ach Toin Beshvila Safek, Mono La Achi Biadchem. It's a brother claiming on behalf of the Safek that you owe him. So they could say, look, you with the Tainus Bari, you're not the one who's claiming the money anyway, so leave us alone. You're not the party to the discussion over here. And the one who actually is the party of the discussion, he's saying a Tainus Safek. So it doesn't mean anything to us. So you can't necessarily bring a raya from here to what the halacha would generally be by Bari Veshema, Bari Adif. So what we see is that apparently the Gemara wanted to say that Bari Veshema love Bari Adif because you can't be Motzi Mamon with a Taina. Yeah, that's you need an actual Raya. Taina Bialma is not enough. But in Yodea Mischayafti is part from paying like a din of Bari Veshema because the Bari is not Motzi from the Shema. But if a person says in Yodea Paraticha, let's say he says, I know that I was Chayiv, but I just don't know if I've paid you yet, then you are going to be Chayiv to pay because then you go back to the Chazaka. The Chazaka is that you were Chayiv, meaning if we know that I owed you money, I just don't know if I paid you back the money, then I'm definitely going to be obligated to pay. So the post can discuss a case. What would you do in the following case? That we agree you owe me $1,000, and you so much agree to it that you give me $1,000 cash. I come back to you the next day, you give me $1,000 bills. I come back to you the next day with a $100 bill, and I say, you see this $100 bill? It's mezuyef. It's obviously not, it's not a legitimate bill. It's a forged bill. So it's counterfeit. So you see that it's counterfeit, but you're not sure if that was one of the bills that you gave me or not. You don't know. So as last we left it, you had paid me back. So this is a case where, is that a case of any of them peraticha, that I know that I'm chayiv, but any of them peraticha, I don't know if I paid you? Or do we say no? Any of them peraticha is that last we left it, we still didn't know if I had paid you back. But over here, last we left it, it was becheskas that it was paid back. So which chazakah do we go with? Do we go with the chazakah at the last time that we knew? Or do we go with the chazakah prior to that? So the Taz discusses in Siman Ayin Hey, and he says, since before the Malva came to the Lova, it was Becheskas Pater, meaning once I received those $1,000 bills and I walked away, so it was Becheskas that was all paid back, that's Enu Yodeim Nischayafti, and therefore you're not going to have to pay. That's not Enu Yodeim Paraticha. So we go after the Zman of the Leidus HaSafik, and in the Zman of the Leidus HaSafik, there was no Cheskas Chiyuv at all. The Marashdam disagrees. He says it's Enu Yodeim Paraticha because the Safik is on the Shas Piraon, whether the Piraon was Kedin. So we have to go back to that moment and look at that as the real time of the suffix. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Meis yachzur nechassim lekomen. If the guy dies, then the nechassim go back to meaning if when Yaakov died, so Reuven had to split his portion of the estate with Yehuda, but Shimon and Levi didn't. Now Yehuda dies, so that portion of the estate that you of Reuven's portion that Yehuda got goes back to Reuven. Good, yeah, that goes back to Reuven. Bari Rava, Shevach Sheshuvchu Nechasim Aleihem Mahu. What about any improvements in that land since Yaakov's death? So Reuven split his portion with Yehuda, and then the portion that Reuven split with Yehuda that Yehuda got went up in value. So the core, the basic amount of money that Yehuda got, yeah, that goes back to Reuven when Yehuda dies. What about the increased value? B'Shevach HaMegel L'Ksefayim Lo Tibayla. If it was Shevach that he had to work on in order to make up in value, that's no Shaila. That's just like Yehuda getting money from somewhere else. That gets split amongst all the brothers. The whole Shaila is Shevach that happens on its own. It was a dekel tree and it got fatter and stronger. Arava Askasirton, it was land and some zevil came on the land which made it much more valuable. So my, what's the din in such a case? Does it only go back to Reuven or does it get split amongst Reuven, Shimon and Levi? Take who the Gemara leaves that unresolved. New Mishnah. If a guy dies and we find the shtar daitiki that's on him, so it was never delivered, it was never given, so then it's enoklum, it's worthless. Even though divrei shchiv marakuk suvna kumsurin dami, this guy didn't say words. He obviously wanted it to be a shtar, and the shtar was never delivered. Zika bala acher bein min yarshin bein shein min yarshin dvarv kayamin. If he allowed someone else to be mezake in that shtar on behalf of the recipient, so then before he dies, someone else was zochin that shtar, then it's going to be binding. Tan Rabbanan, ezri daitiki. What is a daitiki? Kol shekasuba da tehei lemekam v'lias. Where he says this land should be for collection, that this person should be able to take from this land. Ve'ezri matana. And what would be not a daitiki but a lashon of matana? Meaning daitiki is after I die, he should be able to take from this. What is a matana? So kol shekasuba mehayom lachar misa, where you say let it be a matana to him right now, but he's only going to start taking the peros from this land after I die. While I'm still alive, I'm still going to enjoy the peros from this land. El mehayom lachar misa udavi matana meachshav davi matana. Only if you say mehayom lachar misa it's a matana. Let's say you just actually give a matana today. That's not a matana. If I give you the whole land right here, right now, and I'm still alive, that's not a matana. So Rabbi Hachi Kamer, Ezim matnas bari shehi kim matnas shchiv merad delo kani lachar misa. Now, obviously, if I give a matana right now, that's a matana. We're saying, what would be an example where I can give a matnas bari as a healthy person, and we're going to treat it like a matnas shchiv merad that you're going to be able to take possession after I die? Kol shekasuba mehayom ulachar misa. If I formulate it in such a way, I say mehayom ulachar misa. Yosef Rabba Bar Rav Huna ba'achsadra de Be'rav, v'yosef akamra m'shmed Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba Bar Rav Huna was by the achsadra of the Beis Medrash, and he was sitting, saying something, the following in the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Shchiv mera sha'amar, kisvu utnu manal ploni. You see, if a shchiv mera were to just say tnu manal ploni, divrei shchiv mera kuksuvnu kumsurin dami, that would be sufficient. But he didn't just say that. He said, I want you to write a shtar and give mana leploni. Umesa, and then he dies before they write a shtar. Sayim calls from Nelson, Shamalog Amalakno sell bishtar. We can't give because maybe his das was that he only wants it given with a shtar. That's why he said kisvu, and he didn't survive long enough to give it with a shtar. Vein shtar lachamisa, there's no shtar in the achamisa. Amru Rav Lazar is daruba that we should be careful about that. Rav Shizbi says that Rav Lazar was one that originally said the halacha. Vamru Rav Yochanan is daruba, and Rav Yochanan was one that piped up that yeah, be careful about that. That's correct. So it was just a question of who was supporting whose statement. Was Rav Lazar supporting Rav Yochanan's statement or Rav Yochanan supporting Rav Lazar's statement? Amru Rav Nachman Yitzchak Kavasei Rav Shizbi Mistavra. Rav Shizbi's version that it was Rabbi Yochanan supporting Rabbi Lazar's statement is more mistaber. Because Yam Bishlam Rabbi Lazar Amra, Itzrich Rabbi Yochanan Asudei Aleid Rabbi Lazar. If Rabbi Lazar the Talmud is the one that said it, so I understand why Rabbi Yochanan will say, yeah, my Talmud good gezogt, he knows what he's talking about. Eliam Rabbi Yochanan Amra, Itzrich Rabbi Lazar Asudei Aleid Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. What, you need Rabbi Lazar to be made about what his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan says? So therefore we're pretty confident that it was the Talmud that said it and the Rebbe that was Rabbi Yochanan who was strengthening the statement. So we'll continue more on that issue, Bezos Hashem, tomorrow.